Well, I apologize for my voice. I'll do the best I can. This kind of started coming on me on Wednesday evening, and by Thursday I was, well, you know my name is Kermit. I was croaking like a frog. But I actually don't feel bad. I know I look bad, but I don't feel bad. Okay. So I'll do the best I can, and y'all tolerate me, if you will, please. And our scripture is from Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse. Surprise, surprise. But also Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 35 and 36, and Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and other things that are in verse 23. And Luke 6th chapter, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward would be great, and you would be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of His Word and of our hearing of it. I'm sure I'm telling you no secret when I announce to you God wants to make some changes within all of us. He's trying to make us better men and women. God, out of His great love and mercy, sent His Son to save us from the consequences of sin. Necessary for Him to do so, because we all sin. Thus, we need changes. He sent Jesus as a person who was obviously human, born as a baby to a woman from Nazareth, reared as a child in that little town in Galilee, walked and talked as a man among men, and as a human He died an agonizing, painful, an obvious death to all who looked on. It was a real death. And this same Jesus God sent to live among us. Jesus was intended to demonstrate to us clearly the quality of life that God intended from the very beginning in Eden for us. The quality of life that God intended for people here on earth, for us, you know, humans of His creation, the crown of His creation, human beings just like Jesus. Jesus came to be just like us because we weren't learning. We weren't paying attention to what God originally intended. And He did indeed show us, living a sinless life and living a gracious life, living a perfect model life. And then He gave up His life so that we who couldn't stop living imperfect lives of sin could have the sin penalty paid for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves, and thus give us and gave to us a pathway to glory. Then, as the successor to Jesus, as Jesus left His life on earth, God again, in His love and mercy, sent His Holy Spirit to dwell, this time not with us, but within us, to transform our lives by delivering us from the power of evil in the world, delivering us over to His power within us, to begin to live godly lives, lives filled now with the fruit of God's Spirit. This precious Holy Spirit presence has come to reproduce within us both the character of Jesus Christ and the abundant life that Christ made possible and continues to make possible for those who trust Him. You know, Christ came to do more than just to die for our sins. You see, intending to do more than taking us to heaven when we die, intending more to do more than saving us from an eternity in hell with the devil and his evil angels, Christ intended to help us break with attitudes and ambitions and actions that are both self-destructive and harmful to others. He came to give us a new pattern of thinking and a new program of action, a kind of life that leads to abundant life. Not just abundant life in the future in heaven, but also in the here and now. And Christ now accomplishes that and achieves His purpose in us through the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He intends for us to work with Him, to work with the Spirit that He left in us and for us. For instance, Paul encouraged the Philippian Christians to work diligently because he said God was at work in them. That's in Philippians 2. And so we are to know God sent His Holy Spirit to bring about a divine change within us. God wants to change things within us. And this change occurs when we do our part by looking to God and cooperating with Him as He works out His good purpose within us. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:18. Paul listed the inward graces or the virtues that the Holy Spirit wants to place within us and produce as our character. These graces include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so having begun the new year with four of these character traits of the first four Sundays, love, joy, peace, patience, today we move on to consideration of the fruit of the Spirit expressed in kindness. Kindness is recognized as a wonderful, desirable trait, even throughout human experience, as expressed in some secular writings. Washington Irving described the kind heart in these words: "A kind heart is a fountain of gladness, making everything in its vicinity freshen into smiles." Mark Twain declared that kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And of course, the admiration of kindness is most prominently found in Scripture. Paul carefully included kindness in describing Christian love by saying, "Love is patient and kind." Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit provides us with a verbal portrait of what Jesus Christ is like and what His disciples can be like with the helpful filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, the man Jesus was known for His kindness. He expressed kindness at the wedding feast when the reception refreshments ran short, a kindness that provided the best rather than simply a replacement of what had run out. Christ expressed kindness to the widow at Nain, whose only son had died. It's a miraculous kindness of restoring her only son to her. Christ was kind to a poor leper who hungered for health and hungered for human affection. The Scripture tells us that the Lord touched him. This touch indicated the kindness of the compassionate heart of Jesus. You just didn't touch a leper. And he'd not been touched for a long time, and Jesus touched him. Christ was exceedingly kind to Zacchaeus, a tax collector who was hated and despised by his neighbors. And then Jesus came, and Zacchaeus was never again seen the same by those neighbors. Jesus interpreted his mission of, Jesus interrupted his mission of teaching on the mountainside, expressing the kindness of his heart when he fed the hungry who followed him. They'd been there thinking they were just going to hear him. And Christ showed kindness and compassion to a woman who was brought to him being charged with the sin of adultery. The record tells us that Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Can you just imagine that? What's it look like? Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. I believe I was looking at the ground. You see, Jesus didn't embarrass the woman by looking at her and making her feel embarrassed, making her suffer with humiliation. While not condoning the evil of her act, he didn't condemn her. Rather, he kindly encouraged her to work on living a productive, sin-free life after that. And the dying, hurting Jesus turned with kindness to the thief on the cross who pled for and received consideration. Christ was kind at the end to his mother while he was dying on the cross. His heart reached out to her as he made provisions with his follower John for her future care. And the resurrected Christ extended sympathetic kindness to his apostle Peter at the seaside. As we read in John chapter 21, Jesus' three questions concerning Peter's love for him were not intended to embarrass him, but rather to provide him with an opportunity for restoration to fellowship and restoration to usefulness as a disciple. And so as he places his fruit in us, the Holy Spirit seeks to lead us to act with kindness toward others. It can only be seen as one of the ways that we imitate and follow the examples that we have just reviewed in the life of Jesus. Unkindness is a characteristic of the godless life. Life without the influence of Jesus. When Paul described to the Christians in Rome what a godless life looked like, he went to his scriptures, that would be the Old Testament, to quote a description of those who did not know God. And the picture of a life consumed by sin is found in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, all of which say almost identically the same thing. Accurately translated from the Hebrew, Psalm 14 begins by describing the fool. Well, the real translation is a morally corrupt individual. It says, the fool, that is a morally corrupt individual, says in his heart, there is no God. And then goes on, that Psalm does, and Paul does, and Psalm 53 does, and Ecclesiastes 7 does, to lump all of us into that category as sinners. You see, when we turn our back on God, we become the morally corrupt individual. We become the fool who does not know God. So Paul picked up that same thought as he wrote in Romans 3:12. He says, All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Doing good is equated scripturally as kindness. So not doing good is unkindness. The poet William Wordsworth took it that way, equating good with being kind. He said, the best portion of a good man's life, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love. Kindness is not instinctive. Kindness must be developed and cultivated. I like this simple way that Charles Swindoll spoke of cultivating even just a little of it. He said, "Sometimes we reap kindness because we sowed a little of it." He also gave his sisters really simple, practical interpretation of kindness. She said, "Be nice to one another. Just be nice. Say nice things to one another." In other words, kindness is something that you do. It's not something that comes automatically to everyone. It's not just a natural part of human nature. It's not instinctive. Well, I was thinking of this, and I reached back in my own memory and remembered a sign, or it was a kind of like a plaque, prominently in the office of one of my professors of my seminary days. You go to your professor's office and you're sort of intimidated. You know, this is the guy who's going to be giving you a grade on how he feels about your work. And so you walk in the door, you kind of feel like, okay. But every time I walked into his office, that sign, that plaque greeted me. The professor, in his own way, offering a particular greeting to me, the sign read, "Kindness spoken here." My tensions would melt away. When Paul spoke to the Christians in Colossae concerning the garments that the children of God should wear, he encouraged them, among other things, to put on kindness. I think like putting on a shirt adds another dimension to your appearance. Even so, putting on kindness adds another dimension to your personhood. You develop that putting on of the garment of kindness. It isn't just there naturally. But the command to be kind is very clear. It's very definite. The concluding verse of the text that I chose for today can be taken as a command from one of our best and highest leaders in developing the Christian life, the Apostle Paul. You see there he wrote to the Ephesians, and he passed on to us our text from the fourth chapter of the 32nd verse. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." That sounded like a command to me. Be kind and compassionate. Do it. And so we're instructed to be kind. We want to be kind, and we've concluded that to be kind is not something that just comes naturally to us. So it's a behavior that we learn and develop. We cultivate from within us to become outward behavior or outward acts. So what then does being kind mean? How do you identify it? How do you recognize kindness when you see it? Well, let me offer several possibilities, nuances of kindness that you could recognize in a person or you could seek to cultivate within yourself. Kindness leads to tactfulness. That's being careful to avoid offending or being careful to not upset someone. Kindness seeks to be helpful. That is, making it easier for someone else to do a job or to deal with a problem. Kindness is being appreciative. It's to admire and value things and ideas of others. Kindness includes being constructive. It's to help develop or improve something with others. Kindness looks for good in others. It's to find that good and to verbalize it so that it's recognized. Kindness shows forgiveness and mercy. That is, to stop feelings of anger or blame towards someone and instead giving compassion and giving a blessing. Kindness means treating others a very special way. And that special way is the way God has treated us. all of the way He has treated us with merciful kindness despite our sinful rejection of Him and our rejection of His ways. Now, I don't know whether you were counting. I didn't suggest that you do that, but I've just listed seven things that I believe kindness means or kindness shows. It's not a comprehensive list. I'm sure you could add special meanings of what kindness means to you. But I have a feeling you listened to that list and realized that for you to develop and to cultivate all of that kindness in your personhood and in your life is a pretty daunting task. And so I have some advice. Don't try it. It's not up to you to do. Kindness, like love in your life pattern, like joy as a signature quality of your life, like peace filling your life, like patience being something that people identify in you, like any of those life qualities, those wonderful character traits that you want to have, that just seem like a very, very high goal or goals for you, maybe higher than you think you can reach. When you think about that, it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back to what we must come back to. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. Your job is only to give permission, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill those qualities in your wanting and waiting, open heart and open soul. Jesus told His dear disciples, and He has told us, I am sending my Holy Spirit to be with you, to live in you, to empower you, to guide you. And our only task is to let that happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill our whole being with the fruit of His Spirit, including kindness. And just so you know for sure, God has shown us the ultimate in kindness, as His kindness has made provision for our salvation from the deadliness of sin. Paul stated that so well in his letter to Titus, Titus chapter 3. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. And as Paul said so often to the people he loved, I say to you, beloved of Bosquedale, God will continue to show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Because God has been so kind to us, let us together decide that we are going to give free rein to the work of the Holy Spirit in us as we respond to others, as we respond through Spirit-filled kindness. And may God bless us as we do.